Exodus chapter number 34, Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 6, Exodus 34, verse number 6. We're going to continue with our series here on Christian and godly character. And tonight I was speaking to a couple of the men of the church in the foyer before the service. So tonight's is one of the least popular of the different Christian character traits and fruit of the Spirit that we can look at. And I don't want to look at what my opinion is on it. I don't want to look at an example of a person who emulated this, another Christian, but I'd like to look at what it says about God and here and then glean from this. It says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the fact that all of these attributes can be boldly proclaimed about you, that you do emulate these as an example to us. I pray tonight that we would look at this topic and that we would learn from it and that we would apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One of the most neglected virtues in modern Christianity is the virtue of long-suffering. The Christian character trait of long-suffering here, we live in a day and age, talk all the time about how everything has to be immediate. We have instant messages and instant food and instant entertainment and instant answers. And God's work in our lives is very slow. God, I'm sure, has a lot of reasons to not be long-suffering with me. And he works on my heart, but my growth is slow. And the word long-suffering is not popular because we don't like suffering, and we definitely don't like suffering with somebody long. And usually it's pretty quick. Somebody offends us, and all of a sudden, all right, forget it. They haven't arrived like I want them to. The word long-suffering literally means long-tempered, the opposite of being short-tempered with folks. It's the ability to endure difficult people, difficult circumstances, difficult delays and problems without becoming bitter, angry, or quitting. And I can tell you, if you're about the work of the ministry, if you're living a life that is serving the Lord and living for the Lord, you're going to come across difficult people and difficult circumstances and things that don't always go your way or in the time frame that you'd like them to go. Little boy once asked his Sunday school teacher that what patience was, and the Sunday school teacher replied and said, "Patience is waiting without complaining." A Sunday school teacher asked the boy what patience was, and the boy replied, "Patience is waiting without complaining." And his teacher smiled and said, "That's a good start." But biblical long-suffering goes even deeper. It's waiting, enduring, and trusting God while maintaining a Christ-like spirit. A great example of long-suffering that I want to look at this evening is God himself. If we, any of us, examine our lives, we know that God has been long-suffering with us. When Moses asked to see the glory of God here in Exodus, the book of Exodus here, and Moses asked to see God's glory, and God revealed himself in several attributes of his character. Among those attributes are this word, long-suffering. It says, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. So I want to look at God's long-suffering, and then I want to encourage and to challenge us to strive to emulate God's example of long-suffering. We see first, I want to look at the fact that God is long-suffering toward sinners. God is long-suffering toward sinners. God's patience is seen all throughout scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, God repeatedly demonstrates his incredible patience toward mankind. I mean, consider the days of Noah. The world had become wicked beyond description. It says in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Yet did God immediately judge those people? No, in fact, when every single thought and imagination of their minds was only evil continually, he still gave them 120 years of Noah preaching while he built the ark. 120 years of opportunities for them to get right, for them to be spared from the worldwide flood. God gave opportunity after opportunity for repentance. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 10, he wrote, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing." God's judgment is certain. God's judgment is necessary, and God's judgment is coming. But his long suffering is remarkable. You say, why has God not come back to rapture his saints yet? Why? Because he's long-suffering towards sinners. Because he loves sinners so much, that he doesn't want them to perish, but to come to him for salvation, to receive eternal life. Hey, if he would have come and raptured the saints 5 years ago, there's folks in this room who would not have had a chance to get saved, yet he was long-suffering towards us. God's patience is seen throughout scriptures, but I'd venture to say God's patience is seen throughout our lives personally. Every believer ought to be able to testify of the patience of God on our lives. How many times have we ignored the voice of God? How many times have we ignored his leading? How many times have we known the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding us, and we were too afraid or we were too preoccupied? How many times that have we been led into temptation and we fall into temptation instead of seeking his way of escape? How many times have we failed him? How many opportunities to serve him have we wasted and squandered? Yet God continues to love us. God continues to guide us in our lives. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. David testified in Psalm 103rd Psalm, verse number 8, he said, "O Lord, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Thank God that he's slow to anger. There's a lot of reasons I give him to be upset with me and angry with me, to cast me aside. But yet I can always run back to my Savior, and he's always there to welcome me back with open arms, to forgive me, to restore a relationship and a walk with him, and to guide me anew, even when I have strayed. If God dealt with us according to our sins, not a single one of us would be here today. God's long-suffering towards sinners. We see an example of that throughout the scriptures. We see an example of that personally. I see an example of that in my own life as a pastor's son who rebelled against God and his gospel for 16 years. Yet God was long-suffering for 16 years. And I'm saved here today serving him. Not because I deserve it, but because he's long-suffering towards sinners. God's also, I want to look at the fact that God's long-suffering has a purpose. God's patience is meant to lead sinners to repentance. There's a purpose there. He's not long-suffering in order to condone or to excuse sin. Sometimes people will look and identify in the Bible, well, look, David sinned in this area, and he was a man after God's own heart. The fact that sin existed in the lives of people and even men of God throughout those scriptures and that it was recorded does not mean God condoned it. This is often brought up in the fact of polygamy. Never in the Bible does God condone or promote polygamy. Ever. It's actually condemned. Yet, man, he was long-suffering, and he used somebody like David who had multiple wives, who sinned grossly with another man's wife and had him murdered? Why? God was long-suffering. God had a work to accomplish. 2 Peter chapter number 3 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards who? Towards usward. Not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance." Hey, that professor that stands in a lecture hall a couple blocks that way and teaches against the existence of God, God is long-suffering towards him because he desires that person to get saved. The individuals that are walking blindly into these cathedrals and church houses across the country, following a false religion and worshiping a different idea of deity and practicing and lifting up a different gospel, he's long-suffering towards them because he desires for them to come to repentance, not religion. Many people wonder why Christ hasn't returned. Many people are praying for his return, longing for his return. Christians, we look excitedly towards the return of our Savior, and the answer is found in God's long-suffering towards usward. Every day that Christ delays his return is another day of his mercy and his long-suffering. Every sunrise without Christ's trumpet sound is another opportunity for sinners to be saved and for saints to take the gospel to those sinners so they can hear and receive that salvation. Every church service is another opportunity for repentance. Paul wrote in Romans chapter number 2, says he says there, "For thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." God's patience should never, never be mistaken for the approval of what's going on around us. His approval for sin, his long-suffering because he's merciful, and he loves us, and he loves the sinner. His patience, his long-suffering is an invitation for repentance. God's patience then magnifies his grace. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. Chiefest of sinners. He says, "Albeit for this cause," he says, "hey, I persecuted Christians. I'm the chiefest of sinners. Albeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should thereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul understood that the salvation he received was a picture and a product of the long suffering and the mercy and the patience of God on him, a chiefest of sinners. The same is true for us. If we're saved here today, we can praise God for his long suffering towards us, for his mercy towards us. We didn't deserve for him to tarry long enough for Elijah Whitaker to get saved. I didn't deserve for his mercy to be extended to my rebellious, sinful self. Every saved person is evidence of God's long suffering. So we've examined his example, but I want to challenge us that every believer is called to imitate God's long suffering. Most of us have an idea of exactly how much long suffering we're willing to have. How long are we willing to suffer with somebody? Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And it continues on. Notice there, long suffering is not just merely human self-control to not lose it at somebody when they disappoint you. No, this is a supernatural aspect. It's something that is part of our spiritual fruit. It's produced by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's produced by drawing close with Christ and walking with him. And the fruit of walking in the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And it continues on. A closer walk with God. The closer we walk with God, the more patient and long-suffering we will become. long-suffering is necessary for effective relationships. Paul instructed believers with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Every relationship requires long-suffering and patience. Now, my wife just walked out. I promise it wasn't because of my message. At least I hope not. But if I could guess, it was because my son was probably giving fits to the nursery workers. But a marriage requires long-suffering. Long-suffering. Both ways. My dad used to always say, hey, there's about a shovel full of things from your mom that I have to be patient about, and about a wheelbarrow or a dump truck load of things that your mom has to be patient with me on. And patience and long-suffering, if a marriage and a relationship is going to be profitable and successful, there's going to be long-suffering involved. Why? Because you spend any amount of time with another human being who's flawed and sinful, they're going to disappoint you, they're going to hurt you, they're going to say something they ought not to say, and we ought to be long-suffering. Hey, parenting requires long-suffering. I've seen a lot of parents who've gotten so frustrated with their kids, they say, forget it! It's not even worth it anymore. No, long-suffering. Why? Because that's what is required for successful relationships. Friendships require patience. I tell you, in the church house, believers ought to have long-suffering one with another. Sometimes people will say things, Christians will even say or do things when they're tired and struggling or what different things happening in their lives. And it can be offensive. Guess what? Christians in the house of God are not perfect. Surprise, surprise. Neither are we. And God calls us to be long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. I don't know why it stuck with me when my dad made it clear to me as a young person that I ought to be patient with others, because I'm asking them to be a whole lot more patient with me. And that as a Whitaker, we lack the personality to always come across in the best ways. And we joke around that our resting face looks like we're going to kill somebody and looks like we're angry. I promise we're happy in the inside most of the time. But I'm asking every single person that I have a relationship with to be forgiving and long-suffering and patient with me. I ought to be so in return. I ought to be long-suffering with other saints. And the truth is that people will disappoint one another. It's going to frustrate you sometimes the way certain people do certain things when they're running ministries at the church. Say, well, I could run that Sunday school class better. Why? He doesn't know or she doesn't know what they're doing. Okay, maybe not. Maybe they can learn some things. Be long-suffering. So, pick on Ezekiel. That adult Sunday school teacher. He always goes too long and doesn't give me enough time between the services. Give him our time for being long. I preach a lot longer than he does. Would that preacher ever be quiet? No, we ought to be long-suffering one with another. I've seen, not in our church, but I've seen church folks get upset over somebody sitting in their seat. Who do they think they are? Everybody knows that's my seat. It's a chair. There's hundreds of them, right? Long-suffering. We have had this where somebody get upset over a parking spot. Oh! It's a parking spot, folks. We ought to be long-suffering and patient, forbearing one another in love. I think a key to this is where our focus ought to be. Oftentimes, those that do not practice long-suffering and are always short-tempered and short-suffering with one another are very focused on where everybody else ought to be and what everybody else's behavior ought to be and exactly how they ought to conduct themselves. And it's easy to be that way because I can come into a room and I can tell everybody exactly what their problems are. You know what's hard? Brother Terry, you know what's really hard? Is looking at myself and pointing at my problems. Because I don't like that. That's uncomfortable. But I can come in and say, well, you know, I don't know what to criticize about Ezekiel. Ezekiel's socks are not my favorite color. They're a fine color. And I can criticize everybody. Well, you should have, your kids should behave this way. And you should be sitting closer to the front in church. And you should do this. And you should do that. We have had folks leave our church, and the reason they gave us is they didn't like how somebody said hello to them when they came into church. Wow! What it boils down to is it's conceit. It's pride. The lack of long-suffering is because we feel like someone should have behaved differently toward us, that we deserved their behavior to be better. Once again, I'll revisit the fact that in and of our own merits, we don't deserve life itself. We are sinners saved by grace. We're not somebodies. All right? I'm not a somebody. We ought to have long suffering one with another. Because guess what? People will disappoint you. People will misunderstand you. People will hurt you. Some people will actually really do wrong towards you. Sometimes it's not an honest mistake or a misspoken word. Sometimes you're going to have people in your life that do real wrong towards you. You have to be long-suffering. It doesn't mean you have to open yourself up to be hurt over and over again. But I tell you, you ought to be patient. You ought to be long-suffering. You ought to be long-suffering as you minister and reach out to folks. There's times where I was informed at a conference a week ago that we in Idaho are considered a slow growth area. That it takes approximately a couple decades to build a church in Idaho. My response is, a church should never stop being built. That we should always be going, always be seeking souls. And that I'm not looking at how quick growth happens. I'm looking at walking in obedience and rescuing the perishing. But it comes with long suffering. Growing up, I started to learn the bus ministry in Indiana where, hey, we were going in Gary, Indiana. We were oftentimes, I was tagging along with visits where that was a third generation of kids that rode our buses. It was well established. It was one of those things where it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy work. It took work. But you'd knock on doors and say, "Oh, you're from Fay Haven. We want to send our the big white buses. We'll come tomorrow." Now we knock on the door and say, "Hey, you want to come ride the bus? Sunday school bus? Bus to Sunday school? Why? I'm going camping. What's a Sunday school bus?" Say, it's hard. Sometimes it takes a long time to work with somebody before they ever show up to church. I'm knocking on doors and knocking on doors and knocking on doors. And it takes months before I see somebody show up in church. I'm trying to share the gospel and they're not getting saved. Hey. Charles Spurgeon had an interesting quote on that, on long suffering. He said, after much long suffering and perseverance, two snails made it to the ark. Some things just take time. But if God is in it, God is in it. Remain faithful, remain long suffering, and He's the one that brings the increase. I tell you, long suffering demonstrates spiritual maturity. Because long suffering doesn't come from outward. Once again, we're talking about Christian character on the inside. Long suffering comes from the heart. a heart that is surrendered to God and is walking in His Spirit. Says, Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. He's talking about, hey, Christians, those who are saved, these are the signs of spiritual maturity, one of those being long-suffering. A mature Christian is not identified by how loudly they speak, how loudly they sing out in church, but how long-suffering and patiently they endure and remain faithful. See, anyone can be kind and patient when things are going well. It's easy to be patient with somebody that is telling you how much they appreciate you. Some come up to you, Chase, say, Chase, you're such a great guy. I'm so impressed with everything you do. Man, I've seen your welds. They're the best welds out there. And man, you're just an upstanding guy. Nice beard, good look, good smile, great personality. You know, it's easy to be long-suffering with a person that treats you that way. You know, what's hard is when somebody comes and isn't treating you right. Or somebody that you've invested a long time and prayer and effort into reaching, and they're still not where we think they ought to be. They're still not coming out to church. They're still not riding the bus, and you're struggling. You're discouraged. You ought to be long suffering in those times. Long suffering is revealed in a Christian's life, a mature Christian's life, when things are going poorly. Things are going poorly. You know, we come into church, we ought to treat one another with long-suffering and Christ-like love and encouragement when our day has gone great, and when also do the same when our day is going terrible. Sometimes we have bad days. Be long-suffering anyways. Jesus Christ is a perfect example of long-suffering. His patience with His disciples. His patience with His disciples. His disciples often misunderstood Christ. Imagine he's looking forward to the cross. He's taking that burden on himself. He knows he's about soon going to die for these disciples. He knows that they're all going to abandon him. He knows that Peter's going to deny him three times. He knows that Judas is going to turn on him and betray him. He knows what's coming, and he's heavy of heart, and his disciples are arguing who's going to be the most important in heaven. Who's going to be the big shot? And he rebukes them, but did he say, forget it, you 12 are bums, get away from me. Some of us would have, right? Peter, you're an idiot, just shut up. Some of us would have. But no. Jesus comes with long suffering to Peter after he denied him three times, and on the seashore there he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Then feed my sheep. He commissions Peter off and uses him greatly. Hey, these disciples misunderstood Christ. They argued amongst themselves about who would be the greatest. They lacked faith. They failed over and over and over again, repeatedly. Jesus, though, yet patiently and with long suffering, taught them continually, corrected them, loved them, and continued investing in them. I tell you, folks, if you're going to, as I've challenged you, find somebody that you start doing weekly, have a Bible study with them. Go and make a disciple, right? Go find one person, sit down, and go through that Bible study course with them. It's easy for the first couple of weeks. Then it takes some long suffering. When their effort isn't there, and when they fail or they're struggling, have some long suffering. Be there for them even when they've fallen down. You ought to go and make disciples, but be long suffering with them as Christ was with His. Christ's patience was also with the sinners. Consider the woman taken in adultery where the Pharisees come down and say, oh, we need to stone her to death. And Jesus is long-suffering. Consider Zacchaeus. We sing the song, and as kids we imagine him, this fun little short guy climbing up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And he was a scoundrel. Zacchaeus was not a good guy. He had amassed wealth upon himself by stealing from his fellow people. And Jesus said, "Hey, come down. I'm going to your house today. Because I, even though you're a dirty, rotten guy, I'm dying for you and you need to be saved too." Zacchaeus was saved in his house. Consider the thief on a cross. Jesus didn't deserve to be on that cross. The thief did. The thief did. In fact, that thief hanging there, even not the one, not just the one that mocked him, the thief that got saved on the cross, that thief's sin was the reason he was on the cross and was sin involved in putting Jesus on the cross. Yet Christ in his compassion and his love looks over and he repeatedly extends mercy. It says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He looks out at a crowd that was crying, "Crucify, crucify," and said, "Father, forgive them." Wow. Wow. And I get mad when somebody cuts me off, right? I get mad when we get mad when the restaurant gets our order wrong. We get frustrated when our visitors don't come out to church on anniversary Sunday. We get frustrated when you fill in the blank. I get frustrated when my husband, my wife has a list to fill in that blank. No, I'm joking. Not that bad. No, Christ repeatedly showed his patience. Peter wrote of him, 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Hey, people came after him, reviled him. His response wasn't to revile back. I tell you, there's times where you say, "Oh, I'm a red-blooded American. I just have to get angry sometimes." And your heart rate starts coming up, and you're like, "Well, you just..." No. Calm down. Long-suffering. I've never seen someone get saved through the witness of a Christian who ever lost his temper on that person. Ever. No. Oftentimes, I think a Christian's testimony of not being long-suffering might lend the other direction. Christ, his nails pierced his hands and his feet. He could have called 10,000 angels. Instead, he endured, he suffered, and he remained faithful and long-suffering. Why? Because he loved us. He had compassion on us. And he asked us to have compassion on the lost, to have compassion that exudes long-suffering. So what is the why? What is the reward for long-suffering? Well, God blesses those who endure. James wrote in chapter 5, verse 11 of the book of James, he said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You have heard of the patience of Job. Hey, Job lost everything. He lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost his health, he lost his reputation, his friends turned on him, his wife turned on him, yet he continued trusting God, he continued being long-suffering. I tell you, long-suffering produces spiritual growth. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." So, man, that's a weird thing to say, to glory in tribulations. I usually get upset in my tribulations and problems. I glory in the good times. No. Glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. That's why you ought to be careful praying for patience, because usually it comes in the form of tribulations. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. God uses difficulties to produce Christian maturity. Sometimes God uses difficult people in your life to produce Christian maturity. Sometimes God will bring an example. I've seen this. I've seen people grow when they're mistreated by somebody in a similar way that they sometimes mistreat others. They say, whoa, I don't want to be like that. And they grow and change themselves. I've seen that over and over and over again. Trials are not obstacles to growth. Trials oftentimes are God's means to grow us. Like a blacksmith that would pound and stick steel into intense heat and then pound it with a hammer. We ought to be long-suffering. I think of the soul winner, the bus route, the bus captain. You go out week after week soul winning and knocking on doors and making visits. And sometimes we can be discouraged and we could be tempted to give up on folks. And I encourage you to be long-suffering. Stick with it. Why? Well, I tell you, sometimes that long-suffering with those individuals of service to the Lord, sometimes the long-suffering is not even for them, it's for you, for the Lord to teach you through a trial. We don't like trial lessons. We like the easy lessons. The world admires power. The world will even uplift sometimes and say somehow it's manly to lose your temper every once in a while. To have some road rage every once in a while. To put your wife in her place every once in a while. No. No. God admires long-suffering. The world praises quick results. God praises faithfulness, endurance. Long-suffering is the patience that reflects God's own character. You think about this. Not only are others long-suffering towards you, sometimes they're not. God was. Through every time, every sin we've ever committed, God has been long-suffering towards us. And he asks us to follow his example. Long-suffering reflects God's own character. Remember, God has been long-suffering towards us personally. God's patience is intended to work at his purpose. The Holy Spirit desires to produce long-suffering in us. And Christ is our perfect example of long-suffering. He will also reward those who patiently endure. Ask yourself tonight, are you patient with God's timing? Are you? Sometimes we're not long suffering with the Lord. We want answers immediately. Are you patient with difficult people? Patient with difficult people. Are you patient? Are you reflecting God's long suffering in your home? Sometimes the people who see the lack of patience and anger in somebody and people the most are those within their home. You ought to be long-suffering. You ought to be patient. To be otherwise is to not be Christ-like. I'm not saying you don't address something that it might be wrong. I'm not saying you don't correct your children or deal with things as a husband and wife, but you do so in a Christ-like manner. Are you reflecting God's long-suffering within the church with one another? Are you reflecting his long-suffering in your daily life? May it be said of us, what was said of our Lord, that we were merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. As I mentioned, it's not popular because our flesh really likes to react wrongly. Our flesh would really like to let people know and let people have it. But that's not what God has called us to do. And usually, I get up here and preach a really strong message. You say, preacher, you think we should be soft? No, I think we ought to be godly. Strong. Don't compromise. Don't waver. Do right. Stand for truth. But be long-suffering. Be long-suffering. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. You say, why are you against giving up on people? God didn't give up on me, and I sure deserved it. We're about the work of the Lord, and we ought to do it his way. And his way is with his Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit, one of those being long-suffering. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your example, and Lord, thank you for the long-suffering you had towards us. Lord, I know as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a man, Lord, you've been long-suffering to me in so many ways. You've taken care of me. You've been patient with me, and I don't deserve that, whether it's with salvation or in my walk with you. Lord, I pray that we tonight would apply this aspect of Christian character to our lives, that yes, we would have integrity, yes, we would have diligence, but that we'd add to that long-suffering tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.